This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bulldog and I having a conversation about whether, never mind. Should we? I started.
It's not even a conversation. It's an argument. It's heated. Nah. Really.
I think Benito Santiago put his knee in the dirt behind the plate, and you're saying Tony Pena. I think Pena just stretched his one leg out.
So he was squatting, didn't have the right knee down, and had the left leg kicked out?
I think so.
Man, I remember Pena was the first guy I saw in a pose anything like that, but I can't remember if he had the knee down or not, like okay. You're saying Santiago did or not.
Tony Pena played in the first professional baseball game I ever saw in person.
I believe that.
For the Bisons.
At the Rock Pile, right?
At the Rock Pile, 1979, I think.
Yeah.
Luis Salazar.
All right. Remember
Fred
that name
Brining.
Too.
Fred Brining. Mm. Sal Capaccio, Sal, you want to settle this one or do you want to just move on?
Okay, well, I'm listening, and as I'm listening, I Googled Benito Santiago Crouch. He has one knee down and one left leg out.
Okay.
Well, he has his knee on the ground, his left leg out.
No dispute. Tony Pena preceded him and had a similar style. Okay. We just don't know if he had the knee down or not.
I think he didn't.
Pena was the first guy I remember ever seeing with the leg kicked out, but I don't know if he had his knee down or not.
He was at a full. Actually, this is crazy. If you guys right now on your computers just type in Tony Pena Crouch, Wow, he's really low. He's like doing the splits with his entire shin on the ground and his left leg out.
But his other knee is not touching the dirt.
No, his backside of his leg.
I've got one for you that.
Wow.
It's tougher now because
that,
we started
huh?
with Tony Pena.
Yeah, he's like sitting. Mike, his knee is on the ground. He's like, he's sitting.
All right.
Yes.
Let's review it.
Yeah, I think Santiago is more mobile. Pena isn't going anywhere. Like, his butt is on the ground.
I agree with that. Yeah. He's got to throw all arm, baby.
Right.
You can have it. You can have it.
All right.
Sal, I got one for you. I hope you like this. So, I don't know if you do, but I get the NBC PR emails every week. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm a former copy editor. It's an absolute nightmare because, like, the headline is 40 words, all in bold caps. Like, just, you know, it's like a Trump tweet. It's just terrible. So I look at them, though, and they're always like, here's the Sunday night game. We crushed the ratings, all the records. And this one today was about how Michael Keaton is, like, the star of their open for Sunday night football. It's the Jets at the Steelers, and he's from Pittsburgh. Right? And you know what, Sal? A light bulb went on for me. Because for all the, you know, mostly energy I put into trying to predict the schedule, and you love that too, and you've got your guy from the league, and we're trying to figure out which games are going to be the night games and everything. I bet it would be helpful to know, like, the movie release schedule. And Michael Keaton from Pittsburgh is hosting Saturday Night Live tomorrow. He's got two movies that are out right now, and he's got Sunday night. And I bet that's not a coincidence. I bet Pittsburgh would have been, you think, right. You think I'm right?
This is like following Ed Sheeran's concert schedule for stadiums.
Yes, it is.
Oh, for sure.
I think we should, I want to say could have, but maybe should have. I'm feeling some support here. We maybe could have known that the Pittsburgh Steelers would be home on Sunday night in week 7 because of
Michael
Keaton.
I see what you're saying, but yeah. That'd be a tough one to figure out.
Yes.
Yeah. But you'd have to really put a puzzle together and go super deep into the rabbit hole. By the way, two things. Number one, You know, of all my conversations ever with Mike North, I finally met him for the first time at the Bills-Ravens game. He was there, and he was getting on the elevator. And I looked, I said, Mike, hey, Sal, how are you? And it's like one of those, man, we've talked virtually all these years. We've never said hi to each other in person, but he happened to be at the Ravens game. So we kind of talked a little bit about the schedule and, you know, things like that. And the second thing is, I had no idea until you just said this, but it totally makes sense to me that you were a copy editor at one point.
Oh, yeah. No, I was good at it in Rochester. But, you know, yeah, okay. Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Anybody who says that, I take that as a compliment. I don't know how possible it is to know when Beetlejuice is coming out, but if you did know that, you might put the puzzle together, like you said,
sure. And,
you know, have Pittsburgh at home this week. He's like Mr. Pittsburgh.
You guys all just laughed along, but it was Ed Sheeran a couple of years ago that was on a tour. He was playing in Foxborough or something. Okay, well, they can't be home this week because Ed Sheeran is there.
That's right. That's exactly what happened. All right.
Well, this year we were doing the whole thing about where Taylor Swift would be, and is that in conjunction with a Chiefs schedule? And she just so happens to be in Toronto right around the game with the Bills are playing. But that's really the only one. So when Mike North said on the Always Game Day in Buffalo podcast that her schedule had no bearing on the Chiefs schedule, people kind of snickered because of that. But that really is the only game that there's something like that with her.
And she's there for a whole week, I think, right?
Like, or two.
Right. Just a run of shows there that are... For the scale, like in a stadium, unprecedented.
My brother-in-law's family in Toronto, they bought tickets to that, I feel like, 7 years ago.
Right.
So I guess that's coming up. All right, Sal, so here we go. Bills and Titans on Sunday, 1 o'clock. Before we get into the details, injury report and more, just what's your confidence level on this game? 9.5? This feels like a little bit of fresh air for the Bills, but is that a little bit dangerous to think like that?
I don't think so. I'm very confident right now. I think the vibes are good on this end for this game. I think it would be a major, major disappointment if the Bills didn't win this game and maybe comfortably to me. Now, they are a very good defense. There's no doubt about that. Like, you're going to have to maybe grind your way to get to your points. But I just don't know how the Titans with Will Levis are going to keep up and score with the Bills. And I think the Bills will have a couple short fields, probably a couple turnovers here or there. I mean, this is what Will Levis does. It just feels like the ultimate kind of storm coming back home for the Bills. First time in a month after a 2 out of 3 games, they get that good vibes feel after beating the Jets. They're healthy again. It just feels like everything is pointing towards the Bills should kind of really take this one pretty comfortably.
Does Levis showing up as questionable on the injury report give you, I don't know, a little bit like sad to see Tristan Jarry leave the game after giving up 3 goals on 5 shots on Wednesday in Pittsburgh? Sort of vibes like we were talking to Ben Arthur last hour, and like, I don't know. I know we all know who Mason Rudolph is, and, you know, he's not someone who would scare you, but he might be better than Levis at this point.
I mean, this is actually the way I felt about Minnesota with their quarterback change, right? J.J. McCarthy, as much as they wanted him to start, and it would have been better maybe long-term for them, they're a better team with Sam Darnold, right? I mean, now they're undefeated. So I totally get this vibe and what you're saying, Bulldog. But I just, at this point, I'm not concerned or thinking that he is not going to play. I know he's on the injury report with questionable, but it's weird. He went from limited to full to limited. Reading just some of the Titans people, it doesn't seem like there's anything kind of really there that would make you question if he's going to play or not. But at the same time, sure. I'd love to see Will Levis play because of that reason, what you said. Like, Will Levis is out there. I think the Bills can get him, and I think the Bills can get to him, and I think that they can get some turnovers. If he's not, I mean, geez, who's their backup? Who's their backup right now?
It's Mason Rudolph. That's why I said that. Yeah.
Mason Rudolph, there you go. Right. Yeah, the Bills played him in a playoff game. I mean, not that he's going to threaten you necessarily. I still think their offense is a bit limited. They're not going to have Treylon Burks. They're not going to have Tyjae Spears. So I still don't think that would be much of a threat to beat the Bills. I just think it might look different if that were the case.
Do you have anything more on Levis and just sort of his chances of making it in the league? Is he somebody that you, like, to put it one way, ever took seriously as a starting quarterback? I know people who did, and it started kind of excitingly with him, but is he somebody that would you bet against, you know, Will Levis being a starter in this league in like 2 years?
Ooh, I might bet against that. but that would only be because I've kind of landed more there. Like, I really liked some of the stuff he brought to the table. I've compared him to, you know, Josh Allen, rookie year, whatever. Bills fans didn't like that a few weeks ago because that's so disrespectful to Josh, right? But, you know, you get the point, right? It's not that he's going to be Josh Allen. It's that he has these plays where you're like, whoa, how did he make that?
I feel like
throw?
He's maybe like dollar store Josh Allen.
Yeah, right? And to me, it was more of the comparison of he has these wow plays where you're like, wow, he's got some talent, and then he just makes some boneheaded decisions. But his boneheaded decisions have been way more, I think, infrequent. Or maybe the wild plays haven't been as much, right? And his trajectory just hasn't kind of stepped up. Where Josh in his second year, you could see, here we go. Now you can see what he's got and he's bringing to the table. You could really start to feel that in 2019. Mike, you know, it's a really interesting question for me. I think the Josh Allen situation in Buffalo has had me really kind of shift my paradigm on all things with this stuff, which is, and it's probably too far. Probably gone too far this way. But I am so entrenched in how much situation matters now to these guys, because I really believe that Josh Allen would not be Josh Allen without the structure in place the Bills gave him, without the continuity they had, without the plan they had, without Brian Daboll being here, Brandon Bean, Sean McDermott, everything that they put into that. And I've always said, and I believe, Sam Darnold would have been a good quarterback in Buffalo. I don't think he'd be Josh Allen, but I think he would have been good here because of all of that. And I don't think Josh Allen would be nothing. He'd be anything like he is now if he had gone to the Jets because of how they kind of ruined him. And I just look at these places around the league where it just seems like they're ruining quarterbacks and it's not great structure and the people around them, the plan they have in place. And I then look at Tennessee. I mean, honestly, like, it feels like Brian Callahan hates him, right? Like, he doesn't even want him playing sometimes. And I just don't know how conducive that is for him to develop.
Plus, to that end, you've got guys who've kind of come out the other side, like Darnold or Mayfield or Geno, like guys who have come out the other side and they seem to have maybe, I mean, it's always kind of week to week, but benefited from the experience. And I don't know, maybe there's a point here that if a team had slow played it, I don't want to be the one to say it, a little bit more than they did. I mean, Darnold's an interesting example because, I mean, he was kind of doomed from the beginning. He didn't have stability at all. He had the opposite.
That's exactly right.
You know? And it's also, like the Bills, that was a franchise that had just had very little success. But still, I mean, the coach was, it was Todd Bowles. And he had to win that year or else he was out. And guess what happened?
Right.
And so that is definitely big. There's no doubt about it.
That's probably a reason why you don't rush it. Like, you know, certainly we all would have liked it if Sean McDermott had seen his way to drafting Patrick Mahomes and he were the Bills quarterback. That probably would have worked out, the structure and all the stuff here. But they kicked the can down the road a year to not sort of, you know, not hurry it. Like, let's make sure we get a guy that we know we really want to work with. And, you know, yes, you miss on Mahomes that way, but being patient worked that way. The Jets were in a position where they had to do it, but they had a coach, like Mike just said, that was already, the meter was running out on him. So it's a very different situation. You got probably all kinds of division in the building, people trying to, you know, get on the right side of things, so to speak, for when the guy gets fired. You know, let me make sure I make camp with the guy that's going to still be here and not this guy. And that's just no way to bring a new guy in.
That's right. I'm thinking back to, like, we all probably agree that there was a pretty defining moment in Josh's career. Came very early in his second year. Was that New England game, right? Remember at home, Brian Daboll really getting on him. The Zay Jones game, where Zay Jones didn't fight for a ball. Josh just threw balls up haphazardly and threw three interceptions. I'm looking at the box score now. Bills lose 16-10 because of a blocked punt. They have a great game on defense, and like, they were bringing him along. But at some point, it came there. There was a come to Jesus moment, right, with Brian Daboll. And, like, you just can't put us in these situations. You just can't do that. And he was upset with him on the sidelines. I remember that. And I'm thinking about this is now where we are, literally, like, that same time period with Will Levis, right? At some point, I get it. Brian Callahan's been on him.
Yeah.
But, you know, at some point, like, there's got to be a shift in how the person has to grow from one extreme or where they are to at least have some growth there. And I remember that moment. And then you look at the next several games, and Josh was just a better quarterback after that. He didn't turn the ball over quite nearly as much the rest of the year. It looks like he only had three interceptions the whole rest of the year. I think that's what they're waiting on for that to happen. And when is that going to happen if it does with Will Levis?
Sal Capaccio on the Wester Hotline helping preview Bills Titans Sunday at 1 o'clock in Orchard Park. Should be a beautiful day, beautiful weekend, really. Should be great. Hope folks can get out and enjoy it. And of course, enjoy the game on Sunday too. Sounds like Amari Cooper is going to play. What should expectations be, Sal?
I think expectations should be for him to, if he's going to play, which it sounds like he is, they're not just going to, you know, put him on the sidelines, I think. He's going to have a handful of plays, probably things that they've just really specifically worked on this week and said, here's a package of plays for you. There's about 15, you know, 12, 15 things we can do here, just whatever, or 12, 15 snaps maybe. And in those snaps, there's this limited number of things that we can do, but you know, he's a veteran. He can adjust things on the fly if they need to. I'm sure that they were working on different kinds of, you know, certain formations and packages. They feel comfortable with him against this specific defense, and that's what I would expect. So I wouldn't doubt that. I mean, it could even be like red zone. Hey, maybe he scores, right? Hey, we're going to put you in the red zone a couple times, you know, and maybe he can help out there. Not that they've had any trouble, but maybe that could be something specific for him. Certain third and long situations maybe. But I think that's what you're looking at. Your normal first and 10, second down and medium. I don't know if you'll see him as much, but maybe you're just working on specific situations where you put him in and he's saying, in these situations, we want you on the field, and this is what we're going to try and do.
This New England game you referenced was from early 2019. Frank Gore, senior, went over 100 yards for the Bills in this game. This is the game, I think, Bulldog, where Allen left with maybe a head injury, and we all thought he'd come right back and didn't come back. It was Matt Barkley who went in for him that day, just looking at that now as well. Segue, Frank Gore Jr., Sal, possibly here. We've got Cook back, but Davis is hampered. I wonder what you think Davis is. From talking to Sean McDermott today, Davis's chances are, and would it be Frank Gore Jr. elevated as last week?
So Davis is officially questionable. A calf injury popped up on the injury report. Sean did indicate that the injury was from Monday night's game, though, when he was with me on the Extra Point Show. He kind of mentioned that it popped up during the game, but we didn't get anything from that on Wednesday during the walkthrough. So Thursday is limited. So it doesn't feel like it's anything happened in practice, although certainly he could have re-aggravated it in practice, right? But I think the where it started was Monday night. He didn't really kind of give an indication of he's super confident he's going to play or not. We'll see how it goes kind of thing, you know, see where the next couple of days go with this. So they have a couple of days. We'll figure it out. If that is the case, that he does not play, if that isn't the case, then yes, certainly Frank Gore. Now, they do have Darrington Evans they could activate. The problem there would be, or the issue, you activate Darrington Evans, you have to create a roster spot for him. You don't have to do that with Frank Gore, obviously. You could just elevate him from the practice squad. Darrington Evans, if everybody looks at the injury report, it might be a little confusing because Darrington Evans is actually listed as doubtful. The reason why he's even on the injury report is they changed the rule a couple years ago that if a guy's practice window is open, even if he's on IR, you have to list his status for possibly playing that week. It's not that he's injured, but he's coming back from injury, so you have to do that. It's just so teams don't play games with a guy that's coming back on his practice window's open, and then suddenly, bam, he's playing, and the other team didn't prepare for him. So that's why he's listed there.
Okay. So Darrington Evans revenge game narrative back to life a little bit, breathing a little bit of life into the possibility that the former Titan
barely
plays against Tennessee here. All right. Did you know, Sal, before Monday night, and maybe you did because you're Sal Capaccio, that Josh Allen is on the longest streak of starts for any quarterback in the NFL?
Yes, I've known that, and I've been mentioning that since really the offseason when people always have us on. You know, we do these radio spots or TV spots around the country, and people love to tell us how much Josh Allen's going to get hurt because of the way he plays. And my natural response is, well, do you know that he has the longest starting streak of any quarterback in the NFL, and he's been playing like that since he came in the league?
Right. So he's got the, in this case, advantage of playing a couple of these week 17 or 18 games that didn't matter, where maybe he could have sat, where like Mahomes didn't do that. Lamar Jackson hasn't always done that. But still, I mean, it's a pretty good run. I didn't realize this until Monday night, so they're not apparently asking me that question. But, yeah, it's pretty good.
And Monday, I believe, Monday was his 100th game, and this will be his 100th start. So he didn't start that first game that he played against the Baltimore Ravens.
Okay, and it was like, maybe this is 95 in a row. right about there, because there was a break when he got hurt in Houston.
Yes, that something year. Like that. That's right.
Okay. Bulldog, anything else?
Before you go, Bulldog, I think we should mention for the Titans, they do have a couple of notable injuries, guys. Mm-hmm. Especially today, it was revealed Treylon Burks is not going to play. He was injured in practice this week. Now, obviously, things haven't gone well for him anyway, right? It's not like he...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real, we're transparent, we're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
He's been this really productive player, but obviously a player a lot of us are familiar with from that draft class a few years ago. He's not going to play. He's been ruled out. He had an injury. He's going to go on injured reserve most likely. Tajay Spears is not going to play in this game. Keandre Coburn is not going to play. He's a defensive lineman. And L'Jarius Sneed, on top of Will Levis, mm-hmm. L'Jarius Sneed is questionable, and he hasn't really done much all week, actually. Let me just see on him. He did not practice actually at all this week, so I'd be a little surprised if L'Jarius Sneed plays in this game.
Did you, can you bring yourself to appreciate how great a baseball game that was last night, even though your team ended up on the wrong side? They still have a 2-1 lead, so, you know, you're not in real trouble yet, but holy cow, Sal.
That's why I can appreciate it more, because it wasn't like a series winning situation just like, I don't want to hear about it, right? Like, yes, because I still feel good about being up 2-1, although I'm not sure how much I trust Louis Hill, but he can be really great at times or a disaster. Tonight. Yeah, listen, I was at an event last night with Stevie Johnson, and I had it on my phone, and we were doing a show, and I had the game on, and the Yankees were up 5-3. I was following along, two outs of the ninth, and I said, 5-3. And Stevie looks at me and says, oh, they got this. It's wrapped up. I said, Stevie, don't do that. You never know. And sure enough, I look, it's 5-5. And, oh, my God, right? And I didn't realize, like, I knew they had a home run. And then the event's ending, and just as I get in my car, I turn it on, and they had hit the game-winning home run. And they go to Tim Kirkchian of ESPN. I'm listening on ESPN Radio. And Tim Kirkchian says, I've been covering this league for 40 years. That's the greatest playoff game I've ever been to.
Stevie Johnson, a baseball guy?
He is not, but his daughter plays softball, so he's gotten into it a little bit more, he said. You know, he's kind of understanding. He's not a big baseball guy himself, but he's starting to kind of pay attention a little bit more. And, you know, he knew. And he apologized. He's like, after that happened, he's like, oh, my God, I said it was over. I'm sorry. I'm like, that's why you don't do that.
Right. I thought the same thing. Your closer came in the eighth to put the fire out, and I was tired. And I'm like, all right, they probably, this guy's going to mow him down in the ninth. I'm out. And, you know, obviously I missed out. So I was with Stevie there, I guess. I thought it was
over. Did you see the video of their stadium from, like, several blocks away that someone posted?
I did. Yes.
Amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, that's super cool, right? So it's just like this still video of like downtown Cleveland. The stadium's right there. And all it is the audio of the stadium. And you hear the crowd kind of rumbling. And then you hear the crescendo of the crowd and the fireworks go off. And it's pretty cool. And even though my team lost, yes, Bulldog, to answer your question, I have a great appreciation for how cool that was last night.
The swings are just intoxicating with October baseball. Even in this game that's just started, top of the first, Dodgers, second and third, no outs.
Right, yeah.
Three straight outs.
Marte's booting the ball out in right field, and
Three straight outs, and then Alonso just hit a three-run homer in the bottom of the first. So 3-0 Mets. Very good. Sal, enjoy the game Sunday. We'll talk next week.
Have a great weekend, guys.
All right, you too. That's our Sal Capaccio on the Wester Hotline, and his appearances are always brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet?
Your thoughts on Bills Titans are welcome. 803-0550, Football Friday. Open lines until 6, then, of course, picks, which takes, I mean, absolute precedence. Yeah. Those are the rules. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here. Thanks for listening. This is WGR. Contest time. Did the pause give it away? Be caller 5 at 716-221-4WGR. That's 4947 to win a pair of tickets to see Disturbed with special guests Daughtry and Nothing More at KeyBank Center Friday, April 4th. You're free. You don't have to look. Courtesy of Live Nation, tickets went on sale this morning at Ticketmaster.com. You're free on April 4th.
It's a little early for Sabres playoffs. Yeah, that's right.
Right, there could be a game, a regular season game.
Right, but yeah.
That will have high importance.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it could be, clinch the division or something.
How bad is it? What's DEFCON? DEFCON 2 already? 3? Can we make it 3? 6 games. Can we make it at least 3? 2 is worse than 3 on the DEFCON.
I'm going to go with a 2. I'm going to go 2. Yeah. Yeah, it's the same. Man, we should be able to swear when we're talking about them.
So much has changed, but not that.
We got to be better at the start, and managing pucks and
managing pucks.
Oh my God,
puck managing.
It's just so. I don't know. You know how I sounded on Wednesday. Right? Like, I 2 weeks ago was the opener in Prague, right? 2 weeks ago, Friday. Yeah.
Today, yeah.
Yeah. Like, oh, man. Ugh, brutal. Not a lot to say. Just familiar. Saturday was worse. And then, the home opener, they played well. They beat Florida. Okay. Look at this road trip. I don't think any of these teams have to be better. They're outclassing. I know Crosby, Malkin, Letang, whatever. I don't think the Penguins are very good. Go get going. And so Wednesday gets away from them. Last night, Columbus.
Oh.
I mean, Levi, mix in a save. I mean, anything. Can you just give me something?
I saw the expected goals chart. It was like Columbus should have had 2.
Yeah. He had a brutal night. And, it's not on him. I know. But just, oh my gosh. Just everything. Everything. The third period starts, right? They get the late goal from Power, 4-3. Like, okay, this isn't a good team. Like, you can do this. 15 seconds into the third period, and, like, I'm still simmering down from that, and I gotta get look at how happy everybody was for Kulik when he scored last period. Like, I'm not ready for that right now. This game was 4-3. I thought they're going to win it, and it's 5-3 now, 15 seconds into the period. I don't want to see high fives on the bench for a goal that happened an hour ago. Just, oh my God, just so frustrating. That's not exactly about the performance, I know, but like whatever. Just, it's so annoying. And then the game, Lindy after the game seemed to me, I mean, it's been a while since we've experienced Lindy in this role, like head coach of the Buffalo Sabres. He's the guy standing with the backdrop behind him with Paul asking him questions after the game. It's still kind of surreal, but like, okay. And he just seemed like, I don't even know what the hell they were doing. That's how he said. Like, he didn't say that, but that's what his face looked like to me. Like, we weren't doing that a couple games ago. What are we doing?
Don't you wonder right now what he's thinking?
Yes, that's what I'm suggesting. Yeah, like what did I bite off here? What kind of band of brothers is this exactly? I mean,
does he have the appetite?
Yeah, to really get after
them?
To
dig in and...
Yeah, I hope so, because, man...
If not, it'll be over soon.
Yeah, accountability and all this stuff. Like, we're six games in, and I'm getting, they came at us hard. Oh, my God, shut up! You finally put a good shift together to start the second period. Who takes a penalty in the offensive zone 150 feet from his own net? Alex Tuch, with an A on his chest. What are you doing? They are, I don't want to go with absolutes about heart and determination and grit and desire, but they checked no boxes last night with that effort, in my opinion, none. And it's game six of a new era with a legend behind the bench, and I get dial tone out of them. I guess I was ready to go on them. I didn't realize it when I walked in the door, but... What just happened? Did you just open? Did you crack the door open? And I'm screaming.
Did I even say anything?
You alluded to them.
I was just giving away Daughtry tickets.
I know. I don't know. Sorry. I
say KeyBank Center and April 4th, and you're like, the playoffs.
April 4th. That was your April 4th. I guess I was on
The Bison season will be well underway by then.
I was perched on the top rope all day waiting for you to refer to April, which is close to when the hockey playoffs start, and then I'm the rock flying off the top rope now.
Wow.
With
the show ever sounded
elbow.
Older? Has the show ever sounded older?
Just what a... They got to say something after, but how about you perform? How about you're ready to play Columbus? How about a guy who's got like five career goals not dancing around your D and roofing it on your goalie prodigy Jedi Knight guy? How about that? This Olivier, who he is? He's got us throwing bombs with Matt Rempe last spring. And he, like... Well, it was Malenstein because Clifton got caught up ice. And so he's not a defenseman. And it goes through his skates. It's like just goons scoring on me. Goons. Columbus goons.
Columbus goons.
Columbus goons. Get the cannons firing. Come on. I want to love them. Wednesday, I'm like, road trip. They get. I even tweaked it with the get to 500, 3-3-1. Come back from this trip, like, okay, you can do this. Nope.
No, that's right. That was the word right there. Nope.
Nope.
Not gonna happen. Chicago tomorrow.
All right. Sorry.
What a miserable start.
I need a drink of water.
Mostly. The return of Lindy Ruff was sentimental. It was enough. It was credible enough. It's not like it has to end badly, but so far, credible enough to buy into.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly, I just want to go back into the arena and look at him and pretend it's 2009 or something. You know? Already, kind of that's been ruined.
Yeah.
Already.
I hear you.
They played two home games, and Dallas is here on Tuesday, which Dallas is good.
Yeah.
And I'm not expecting to want to go in there and just feel good about the old days.
We got the email about tickets here. Like, hey, we got some tickets, first come, first serve sort of thing. It's nice. We're fortunate to have that opportunity. I deleted it without even thinking about it because of that. I'm like, I don't want to be in there right now. I just don't.
Six games.
Like, if Dallas is good, and that's a game that could very much be like one of these games from last year where it's 2-0 before the first TV timeout, and like, I was at a game like that last year, I left. While the game was like midway through the second period, I gotta go.
Yeah, I did that for McDavid.
I don't want to be in here. And so, like, already, right? My kid, Owen, I did not give him any of the speech about like how I was feeling about this season before it started. Like when we talked before the season started, I'm like, I don't know, I'm just not in a good place. He's really excited. Like Lindy's back, you know. Yeah, you know, the goaltending stabilized. Like he's excited. I'm like, okay, you know, let's see what happens. Last night, he gets up really early to go to work, but it's not even the first intermission. Like I'm going to bed. I can't do this. It's so hard, and it's not
2-0.
Yeah,
maybe.
Yeah, I don't know whatever it was. It's all a blur. I just so
no kidding.
So frustrating, and like they didn't, you know, create a 13 or 14 year playoff drought last night, or even with these first six games. But good luck. I mean, what you're hearing here from me in the last 10 minutes is 13 years going on 14.
Going on 60.
And it's not, I know it's not fair. But it's impossible at this point for me to separate it anymore. It's the same dudes saying the same crap about accountability and better efforts and being smarter and stronger on pucks and all this. The power play's 0-for-17, and they're giving up goals like 30% of the time when they're shorthanded. It's amazing they won a game. Like, thank God Barkov and Tkachuk didn't play, because the team could easily be 0-6.
Or Bobrovsky.
Right. Oh, God. Just... How many names on that Columbus roster did you even recognize?
Monahan.
I mean, right. Jenner's hurt. The goalie's hurt. It's a bunch of your names here. It's Olivier.
Yeah, that's an actor. That's not, I mean, that's the Olivier I know.
Just really tough.
Football Friday on WGR brought to you by Celino Law. Car crash? Call Celino. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs, start your game day the Crosby's way. We'll get around the league here. I think it'll be the NFL after a timeout. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR. Around the League in a Dash, brought to you by Dash's Markets, celebrating 100 years. Shop the family of finer foods. Of course, tons of news around the league. Just seeing that Marvin Harrison was a full participant. Maybe he ends up being the rare player to suit up, say what you want, less than a week from a concussion. But that's seemingly where we're headed. Arizona plays Monday night, so we won't know right away against the Chargers, one of two Monday night games. Denver winning last night. This week you got Miami at Indianapolis. New England plays Sunday morning in London against Jacksonville. The Jets Sunday night at Pittsburgh, the rest of the AFC East. And I think maybe the biggest question of the weekend is what the Steelers do at quarterback. What do you think they do?
I think they're going to play Russell Wilson.
So George Pickens said,
"Yeah,
it'll be Russell Wilson."
Yeah, Tomlin tried to play games with it, like wouldn't commit either way to what they were going to do. And then Pickens very casually at his locker. I think maybe someone let him into it with like, you're doing extra work out there with Russ. Like, well, yeah, it's his first start. That's how it came out. So whether you want to take that is it, that I'm taking that to mean that the team knows that Russell Wilson is playing.
Me too. But it would be great if a team was playing such 4D chess that they could have players do that. Right. Like, did I say that?
Yeah.
I would think Fields plays a little.
Sure, that would make sense. He's not been awful. It's just I don't think he really, like, you know, I don't think he sees the field great still. But yeah, I mean, down by the goal line, you know, third and short, like type stuff. I think you want to mix that in, I think.
Yeah, that's very interesting. Sunday night, Davante Adams, almost like, you know, it's just sort of planned. The simulation theorists. Davante Adams, Sunday Night Football, Jets, Steelers, Russell Wilson,
Michael
Fields.
Keaton, this new
Michael
movie.
Keaton, whose real name is?
Russell Wilson.
That's correct. His real name is Bruce Gradkowski. His real name is Michael Douglas.
Already,
but there was already a famous actor, Michael Douglas.
Came up a few weeks ago, yes.
And he worked on the Mr. Rogers show, Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood.
That I didn't know.
Michael Keaton. And I was just in Pittsburgh last weekend, and right near the stadiums are close together. Right near the stadiums is a statue of Mr. Rogers, Fred Rogers.
Fred.
Like your dog. You named your dog after him, right?
Not exactly, but
not exactly.
Not exactly. Not really. By exactly, I mean not at all.
You didn't name Owen after Owen Nolan.
Oh, that's
more exactly.
That's more exactly. Yes. You don't know that story. I loved Owen Nolan, one of my favorite non-Sabre hockey players. When my wife and I were rattling through names, suggestions, ideas, she said Owen, and my brain went Owen Nolan. Yeah, and I said I like that a lot. And we put, and like a very small select group of my friends reached out to me after they found out the name of our firstborn son and asked me. And I said, well, yeah, kind of. Yeah.
Like, you know,
for me, I mean, my wife didn't know, but I have told her since, like, it was because of Owen Nolan.
I've known your story, and maybe more than ever, it occurs to me that mine is very similar. I was not exactly ever a Julius Erving fan, per se. Like, I didn't have posters in my bedroom or anything like that. Right. But we saw him. My son was born 2009, yesterday. His birthday was yesterday. And the previous fall, my wife and I and some friends went to Las Vegas, and we saw Julius Erving.
Mm-hmm.
And we went out to get our cab there at the MGM Grand. Like, wasn't that Dr. J just there? Like, yep. The guy was like, yep, that was him. He comes here a lot. And so I never met him. But... the idea of the name came up.
It was on your mind, and there it was, right?
So, not that different. Sorry, not to steal anything.
No, love it.
Steal Thunder.
Love it.
The Dunn Tire Tribe at 5 today with Sal was presented by Dunn Tire, the official tire dealer of the Buffalo Bills, and brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. Also, by Excelsior Orthopedics Express, sidelined with a sprain, strain, or break. Get to Excelsior Orthopedics Express. Picks are next. Happy Friday. Football Friday. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.